In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may have noticed that today feels like a little bit of a break from the Lenten season, and that is because it is. Today we observe one of the great feasts of the church year, though sadly it is not one that is observed all that often in our modern usage. Today we observe the Annunciation of our Lord. And so with this little bit of a break or reprieve in the Lenten season, we will also take sort of a break from our midweek Lenten series of looking at the cardinal virtues that we began discussing on Ash Wednesday. We won't set that aside entirely, but we will set aside the cardinal virtues today in favor of a look at the theological virtues of faith and hope, as we observe this great feast of the Annunciation of our Lord. Recall, as I had given you on the half-sheet handout, more of these are back where the bulletins were, recall that there's a differentiation in types of virtues of which we speak. The cardinal virtues of temperance, justice, fortitude, and prudence, these are virtues that we work to cultivate in our own lives. These are virtues that you will hopefully find in some measure in just about every person in this world, whether they are a believer or not. These cardinal virtues, at least in some sense, are not tied to our faith in Christ. To be sure, the fullness of these virtues cannot be achieved apart from our Lord's work in us by the Holy Spirit. But some semblance of temperance, justice, fortitude, and prudence can be worked and cultivated in just about anyone. On the other hand, though, are the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, or charity. These virtues are not something that we can achieve or cultivate or work in ourselves on our own. No, these virtues are purely gifts of God, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so as we zero in on faith and hope today, recall that we defined faith several weeks ago as the substance of our Christian belief. By and large, this definition comes straight out of the Scriptures from Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, the very first verse, which says this: "Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Faith indeed is the substance of our Christian belief. Our Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord, define faith a little bit more succinctly, and I really love this definition. Faith is trust in the promises of God. Faith is trust in the promises of God. And so it is that faith and trust, in some sense, are synonyms. And yet we must note that trust or faith always must have an object, something in which one trusts or in which one has faith. Or in the case of the Christian faith, it is not something, it is our God in whom we trust, in whom we have faith. So faith is trust in the promises of God. Hope then is related to faith. Hope is looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promises. And so hope relies upon the mercy of God, that He is good, that He has something beneficial in store for us in the future. Hope cultivates within us an attitude of contentment in the here and now. But the contentment of Christian hope does not rely upon present circumstances, such that our contentment is dependent upon being in a good place in life or a good mental state. The hope of faith, the hope of the Christian, cultivates an attitude of contentment in the here and now, not because of present circumstances, but because of the promise of what is to come. So the substance of our Christian belief is faith, and that faith spurs in us an attitude of hope that trusts that what God has promised will come about. Consider the Apostle Paul's words in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, where he says this, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." And likewise, the Apostle elaborates on the hope that we have because of the Holy Spirit being given to us in Ephesians chapter 1 when he says the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. See, hope, by its very nature, looks forward to that which we do not have yet but has been promised to us. And so the Apostle tells us that the Holy Spirit is our guarantee, our promise that what has been promised to us will indeed be given. And so it is that faith and hope are intimately related. They, in fact, cannot be separated. They are both gifts of the Holy Spirit. Faith and hope, as we have said, are not cultivated by our own work, but rather by looking to Christ. They are cultivated by receiving the gifts of Christ through his word and through his sacrament. We've said several times now in this season of Lent that Lent is a season about sanctification. This day, as we observe the Annunciation of our Lord, gives us opportunity to consider the source and purpose of sanctification, the source and purpose of virtue. Why bother cultivating virtue? Why care about it at all? Well, the source of sanctification, the source of virtue is God himself, and specifically God's work of redemption in Christ. He has sent his Son to this world to be like us, that we might be not just redeemed and saved as poor, miserable sinners, but that we might be sanctified, that we might be transformed into the image of his Son, so that we do not live in eternity as poor, miserable sinners, but that we live in eternity as the redeemed and perfected children of God. This is why virtue, why sanctification matters, because it is a work that is begun in us by virtue of Christ's redeeming us, and it is a work that will be completed when our hope of eternal life is realized. And so with this in mind, I would like to direct our attention to the Annunciation of our Lord, as we heard about in today's readings. Now, that word annunciation is related to another word that sounds like it, announce or announcement. We're not talking about the way that we pronounce words here. We're talking about an announcement that has been made. And we heard the account of this in today's gospel text. Today's gospel text records the angel Gabriel's annunciation of our Lord's incarnation to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so I would like to invite you to see in this text and to see in this day the basis for our Christian faith and hope. Now, by way of review, I would like to read to you, rather than rereading the gospel text, I would like to read for you this brief paragraph and brief explanation of the great feast of the Annunciation out of the Treasury of Daily Prayer, published by Concordia Publishing House. This will give us a sense for how the text we read comes together with these themes. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary and announces that God has shown her favor and will use her as the means for the Messiah's birth. So Mary conceives Jesus when the angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." This same Spirit who hovered over the waters and brought forth creation will now hover over the waters of Mary's womb to conceive the creation's Redeemer. As the Holy Spirit comes upon Mary, she conceives Jesus through her ear, as Martin Luther says. The one who is conceived is called holy, the Son of God. This is the moment of the incarnation of our Lord. The date of the Annunciation falls on March 25th, because the ancient church believed the crucifixion occurred on that date. In antiquity, people linked the day of a person's conception with the day of his or her death. Thus, in the Annunciation, the church joined together both the incarnation of Jesus and the atonement he accomplished. As a brief aside, today is the 26th of March, of course, and we are observing the Annunciation one day later, but as a brief aside, the reason for the celebration of Christmas on December 25th actually is directly related to the celebration of the Annunciation on the 25th of March, 9 months later. It has nothing to do with a covering over of pagan festivals, as you may have been told, but rather a belief in the early church of the date in which Christ was crucified, and then the date of Christmas being figured from that. But note that this day, as we observe the Annunciation where the angel announces the birth of the Savior to Mary, this is the heart of Christian faith and hope. For God has become man. Not just to be a cute baby that we can depict in manger scenes and on Christmas cards, but God has become man in order to redeem lost humanity. And this connection between Christmas and the crucifixion is so crucial, for this is why Christ came, that God might redeem his people. So it is that we see very clearly on this day how God fulfills his promises. There are too many Old Testament promises fulfilled in Christ to name them all, but just to name a couple. We heard in our prophecy for this day from Isaiah chapter 7, that famous verse, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, of course, means God is with us. And so it is that the conception by the Virgin Mary, the conception of Christ, was God's plan from the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden, right after the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, the Lord promised the seed of the woman who would come to crush the serpent. The virgin shall conceive. God will be with us once again. Though Adam and Eve were cast out of God's presence in Eden, God would come to be with us, to redeem us, to restore lost humanity to himself. In the epistle from Hebrews chapter 10, we read, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Yet the Lord had instituted exactly this under the Levitical law, in the tabernacle and in the temple. The bulls and goats were sacrificed, not because they atoned for sins, but because they were a type, a shadow of the final sacrifice, the final Passover lamb, Christ, the seed of the woman." And so we read in verse 9 of the epistle text, "Then he," that is Christ, "said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first covenant that he may establish the second covenant. "By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." See, God indeed has fulfilled his promises. God has sent his Son to grant us salvation. As we've said, faith is trust in the promises of God. And God keeps his promises. Therefore, we can trust him. And so, dear friends in Christ, let your faith and trust be strengthened and encouraged by this fact. God indeed keeps his promises. And listen again to the angel's words concerning our hope. The angel spoke to Mary and said, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Depression, anxiety, mental illnesses are widespread in today's world. It's no coincidence that hopelessness and meaninglessness are also widespread, for these things go together. If we do not have meaning, if we do not have hope, then life is miserable. And yet in Christ we do have hope. For he has come to redeem us, to give us the hope of an eternal life in a perfect world. All that is good, all that is right about this world will be magnified infinitely in the new creation. So that we might be people of faith and hope, and that we might bring this faith and hope to a world so desperately lacking it. Dear friends, let us meditate upon the goodness of our Lord's incarnation. For God has become man to fulfill his promises. He has gone to the cross to be our sacrifice for sin. God has become man to grant us hope for an eternally glorious future. May such a faith and hope be yours this day and always. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.